Our studio guest is Dr. Lucy Green, a space scientist at UCL's Mallard Space Science Laboratory and a familiar face from numerous TV programmes, not least Stargazing Live.
Lucy, having heard our warden just talking about the insignificance of being on the other side of the moon, do you have ambitions to go into space?
I don't. I've always viewed myself as someone who's... I'm actually quite clumsy, so I don't trust myself to be in charge of anything. But if someone would take me for a ride, then yes, I absolutely would.
So if someone offered, you'd say yes, but otherwise...
Yeah, so the space tourism appeals to me, rather than being an astronaut as such.
You specialise in the Sun. You're part of ESA's Solar Orbiter mission. Now, this is going to be the next generation mission to study our nearest star, due to launch 2017. Now, the Sun is immensely violent compared with our nearest sort of neighbours and our moon. And you're particularly interested in the atmosphere of the Sun. So what is it about the atmosphere of the Sun that sort of captured your imagination and made it the focus of your research?
Well, I remember clearly the first time I looked at the Sun, not through the full range of visible light, so just by using a filter and then looking with the human eye, but by using a telescope that had a particular filter on it called a hydrogen alpha filter. And this is something that many amateur astronomers will have nowadays. And when you look at the Sun through a filter, you suddenly see that it has all this activity and structure. And I remember clearly that moment where the Sun was transformed from being this placid yellow disk to being a violent and active object with things happening all the time in the atmosphere. And that's what drew me in, that transition, and realising that the Sun was really, really interesting.
And there's also this sort of fascinating imbalance, isn't there, between the temperature on the Sun's surface and the temperature in the atmosphere.
It's a very good point, and it's something that has intrigued scientists since the mid-1800s, in fact. So when we look at the surface of the Sun, it has a temperature of about 6,000 degrees or 6,000 Kelvin. But when you look at the atmosphere, the gases there have a temperature of millions of degrees, millions of Kelvin, and that is... OK, it's counterintuitive, but it also goes against the laws of thermodynamics to have a hot atmosphere lying above a cool surface. So it's been a big challenge to understand where the energy comes from. But it is something that... it's an area where a lot of progress has been made. And it turns out it's probably related to other forms of activity that are driven by the magnetic field that threads through or fills the Sun's atmosphere.
So I'm guessing then that there are going to be 10 instruments on board the Solar Orbiter. It's currently being constructed in Stevenage at Astrium UK. Mm-hmm. That your instrument is potentially then going to be looking at...
Magnetic structures,
yes.
Absolutely. You're right. So Solar Orbiter has this suite of telescopes on board, and it really is unique in that fact that it has instruments that can not only look at the magnetic structures in the Sun's atmosphere, and the instrument that I'm most closely involved with is looking at the Sun in ultraviolet light. And when you look at the Sun that way, the atmosphere is shown to be full of all these arches, and actually they're magnetic arches. So you might think about having your bar magnet and putting iron filings over it and seeing these magnetic field lines or lines of force being revealed. The Sun's atmosphere is just the same, full of arches, magnetic fields. So we're going to be looking at the Sun, but then also Solar Orbiter will be sitting in the Sun's very extended atmosphere, and so it will also carry carry instruments that can measure the magnetic fields around the spacecraft that ultimately come from those magnetic arches that we're looking at in the atmosphere.
It's very close, actually, isn't it? It's I looked it up, actually, 45 million kilometres away, which still sounds huge, but that's actually within the orbit of Mercury.
That's right. So when Solar Orbiter arrives in its correct orbit after 3.5 years of travelling towards the Sun, it will be the closest man-made object to the Sun. And that will give us a unique position to study the Sun from. But actually, NASA has sent spacecraft close to the Sun before, so the Helios mission. But Solar Orbiter, with its ability to look at the Sun, makes it totally unique.
And you're not just interested in the Sun, you're interested in the Sun's effect on the Earth. We know it's light and energy, but I've always been intrigued by the solar wind, these particles spewing out from the Sun, and they affect us.
They do. The sun, because it has this hot atmosphere that we mentioned earlier, it's not able to hold on to that hot atmosphere, so it streams out into space. It's expanding. So unlike the Earth, we have our atmosphere trapped to us. Gravity is holding it in. On the sun, gravity cannot retain the atmosphere, and it streams out hundreds of kilometres a second into the solar system, and that's what forms the solar wind. And it keeps going until it meets the stuff within the stars and forms this huge bubble. And Solar Orbiter wants to understand how the solar wind is formed.
And that's interacting, that solar wind, with the Earth's magnetic field.
It is. So we are sitting in this gusty outflow, this solar wind, and it's constantly washing over the Earth's magnetic field, squashing it on the sunward side, drawing it out into a long tail on the other side, and it sort of moves like a windsock, rippling all the time in this wind.
I love your use of words, a gusty outflow. Very good. In terms of the impact on Earth, does it matter? I mean, does it affect us at all?
It does. It has very, very large effects. And actually, that's an area of research at the moment that we would call collectively space weather. So this gusty wind that flows tens of, or say 70,000 kilometres above our heads, above outside the Earth's magnetic field, creates space weather above our heads. And all the time, the Earth's magnetic field is changing in response to that, and that drives a series of electrical currents that propagate down through our magnetic field, down into our atmosphere, and even to the surface of the Earth, that drive, well, the space weather effects we commonly talk about are problems to electricity networks, problems with radio communications, satellite problems. I mean, you name it, our technological infrastructure feels the effect of this space weather.
And what's happening in terms of the solar maximum at the moment? Because there is supposed to be this point in the 11-year cycle where it reaches its peak, and that's when you're more likely to experience these effects of space weather. But this maximum seems to be drifting at the moment, doesn't it?
The current maximum has been absolutely fascinating for us. So you're right, the sun has an 11-year activity cycle that's driven by sunspots, magnetic features at the surface of the sun. That when there's lots of sunspots, we have lots of magnetic fields that drives activity. And we've been trying to predict when the current maximum would happen. First of all, it was predicted that it was going to happen in 2011. It didn't happen. Then we said 2012, didn't happen. And here we are in 2013. And we're probably there now. But it will be in hindsight that we'll be able to go back and have a look. And what makes the sun so interesting at the moment is it's not acting as we expect it to. During the space age, we had a very, very active sun. And now, with this very delayed maximum in activity, we're starting to realise that actually what happened in the space age probably isn't the normal character of the sun. And we seem to be coming out of a heightened phase of activity. And in the coming decades, the sun is looking likely to be more quiet than it has been, but still interesting.
And I suppose with this idea of solar maximum, we're just looking at it in such a narrow time frame, whereas really we should be looking at it in sort of cosmic time, geological time, you know, thousands, millions, billions of years.
We absolutely should. The age of our sun is 4,500,000 years, and we've been looking at it during the space age for 50 years. So it really puts it into context. But then we have observations of sunspots, which shows us the solar cycle. They date back maybe to the mid-1800s. So we've got 150 or so years there. But still, that's a tiny amount of time. And what's been really interesting is that there was a time in the end of the 1600s, early 1700s, where sunspots disappeared from the sun, and it was called the Maunder Minimum. Very, very low solar activity. And the reason that got given this special name, Maunder, after the person who studied the low phase of activity, was that we thought it was unusual that the sunspots would disappear, the activity would stop. Now we're thinking, actually, maybe that's not so uncommon. and there is a significant chance within the next, say, 150 years, people are saying that, well, there might be a 50% chance that the sun would go back into a Maunder minimum and the sunspots would disappear again.
Well, Lucy, stay with us. We'd value your opinion on the next couple of stories.
Absolutely, particularly on this one.